I make energy work. We have a pamphlet we published on that same subject, I make energy work. Yesterday, in our Absolute Philosopher, we were discussing about energy. And everything is energy. That the nothingness of the universe is energy, everything in this is energy, all is energy expressing itself on different vibratory levels. And we didn't say, but we do say now, energy working at high rates of speed is a very gentle energy. Energy working at very low rates of speed is a very heavy energy. It is what substance is made out of, and what things are made out of, what appearances are made out of. And we think that, oh, that's fascinating, that things are made out of energy, but they are. We say that's an interesting concept, but they are. It's according to the amount of energy and the vibratory level of energy of any one thing that makes substance. Carpets have a different energy vibration than a piece of steel. That's just the way it is. Now, we say we recognize that. We say we know that. And yet we say it's something really solid. That's a piece of stone, that's a person, that's a house, a tree, a car. Those are solid things, and you know, you got to really work with melting metals and things like that to build a car and stuff. How fascinating. If we chose, we could think energy into any form we wished, and we do. We could think energy into the form of the perfect, the ideal car. How about that? The ideal car that seats exactly the number of people you want it to seat in perfect luxury. The perfect car with the perfect engine that never runs out of fuel. How about that? Why not? I mean, you know, why have it running out of fuel? Why have it needing fuel in the first place? Why have a car in the first place? But you want to play the game. So you're playing the game of being in a physical body. You're playing the game of having a physical car. Well, now, what kind of car do you want? Now, these designers from Porsche and from Chevrolet and Chrysler and Ford and car makers around the world, they think they are so absolutely magnificent coming up with these designs. And has any of these car designers ever said, I wonder what people would think would be the ideal car? I wonder what people would think would be the most attractive car, the most wonderful car in the world, the one that they would just buy from, you know, now to doomsday, because it's a joy, because it's a love, because it's a car that fulfills all of the inherent desires that they have for a car. Now, a car must be comfortable. You think other things, but a car must be comfortable for people sitting in it. As it is a means of transportation. A slow, simple means of transportation, but a means of transportation. Okay. The car must have windows in it so that people inside can look out. They're not in a bullet or in a capsule. They're looking out. And the car must have heating and air conditioning for it travels through a variety of environments. The car must have the accoutrements. It must have the radio, the CD player, and all the other stuff that it has, you know. And then the car must have, what else would it must have?
A built-in computer.
Huh?
A built-in computer.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's in the ideal car. But I'm just thinking of the fundamental basics, you know. The fundamental basics.
Telephone.
Huh?
Telephone. The gears.
Huh?
It goes automatic.
Well, I said CD player, and that sort of meant all that junk that goes in. And then you're saying what?
Well, you think you thought, and it goes.
Well, yeah, but we're having a physical car. Not that you just think you thought and it goes. If you're going to think you thought, you don't need a car, you know. I am there. Perfect speed is being there. Huh?
You just don't use idea anymore.
Well, no, yeah, what you're saying is the ideal car. You think your thought and the car does what you want it to do, you know. Or you press a button and the car does what you want it to do. And the car, what's another factor that you might have for car? This car is surrounded by the pure white light of love. All its ways are peace. All its paths are pleasantness. Now, how about that?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, how would you design that into the car? Would it be a protective barrier around the car of steel and rubber, so it would bounce and not have you? No, it's a mental attitude. But it's something. We're thinking of a car as a physical vehicle and something that is going to be used. Now, what would be the most ideal car you could think about? Now, it's true you would have the latest electronics. You would have the latest driving system. You would have the latest whatever it is, the latest of them. But my point to you now is not so much what we're talking about, but my point to you is, has the designer, the designers of these cars, or even any one of them, taken into consideration what mankind, humanity, would like in a car? What's the ideal that they'd like to have? If you could make the perfect car, now, I this is a silly illustration, but in 1932, the German government produced the people's car. A stupid little bug. A nothingness car. But it was the most ideal car in the world because it was a transporter for the people. It got the people in. They got to where they wanted to go. It was an inexpensive car to drive. It was an inexpensive car to maintain. And it didn't take up a lot of room. It was just the ideal car. And from 1932 to today, that car is the best-selling single car in the world. The best-selling single car in the world. And it is still being built today in Mexico in the original design. The original design with modifications, you know. But it's original slope. It's original, maybe little softer seats or something, you know. But it's the same design. Now, if that car is so saleable, sellable, desirable, why change it? You see? And they are selling more of the Volkswagen cars than any other car, virtually, by a volume in the world, because it is so good. And it's not the new Volkswagens. It's not the snazzy new jobs they got, you know. It's that standard baby from 32. Imagine. I mean, that's when cars were first really getting it on the road in the 20s and 29. Ford was a Model T type of thing, you know, and Model A. It was the simplest type, and yet they came up with that design so early in the game, and it is still there. Now, what we're saying here is that making energy work, the designers of that car were told that they had to do something. They had to make a people's car, a car that would carry people in the simplest possible way, with the simplest possible facility to it, yet complete and nice. The early cars didn't have radios in them. They didn't have heaters in it, perhaps. They didn't have, certainly not air conditioners and a lot of other things they didn't have. And the little engine was stuck in the back. When the engine gave you trouble, you just unbolted it and stuck another one on. I did that with Mark a couple of times, you know. But, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. But they made energy work because those designers were entrusted with a great responsibility by the Nazi government. And they were told to make a people's car that would serve the people, you know. And, of course, the Nazi government themselves, they drove the big ones. They drove the Daimler Benz and the other larger cars that they made in those days. And they were very good too. But the people drove the little ones. And the people enjoyed them. And it filled the countryside everywhere with those cars. With the ideal. Now, let's look at it. Are they making energy work? Oh my goodness, they sure are. They have chosen the ideal car and they have maintained themselves with it. Now, today, the designers are paid far more than the early designers that were put out for the Volkswagen did. But today, they are coming up with so much complication on the car, so much overkill on the car, that the cars are no longer the joyful instruments that they used to be. The cars are expressing a segment of society's desire here, and a segment there, and a segment there, until we have to have 50 cars to express 50 segments of society, of the buying society. Is every human being made of flesh and bones, and eyes, ears, nose, head, arms, feet, legs, and stuff like that? Is every human being that? And basically, do they all fall into a reasonable size? They are usually between 5 foot six and 6 foot, maybe 6 foot one, but 6 foot. And so that's a 4-inch spread. That's a 4-inch spread. And, you know, that's not much to worry about. So if you make it for 6 foot one or something like that, you could probably fit it into everybody. And then these little women that sit behind the wheel of the car in a Volkswagen, they're right up there. They can see perfectly good. And for the men, they just lean the seat back a little bit, you know. But, and it's a four-seater. There's two seats in the back of it, too, in that tiny little thing. And the people are not really terribly uncomfortable. I don't think you've ever heard people complain in the back seat of a Volkswagen, you know. And, you see, but somehow they captured the universal design that was beneficial to humanity. Now, making energy work is when you and I tune in to the universal design of any one thing. Universal design of a plate. What's the best plate in the world? The big ones? The small ones? Medium size? Medium size. What's the best cup in the world? The big cups, the little cups, or the medium-sized cups? The medium size. They're the largest selling cups in the world. What's the best selling knives and forks in the world? Stainless steel. Simple, with a little bit of body to them, but simple and effective. Now, what I mean, that's an ideal. And everybody, every household in the world, so to speak, has a set of stainless steel knives and forks, at least, you know, and spoon to eat with, because it is cheap and it is ideal. Now, what are the socks that most people wear, if any? They wear them up about 4 inches on the ankle, you know. Not higher, not lower. And what is the ideal underclothes for people to wear? Well, what?
None?
Yeah, well, none is the correct answer. But the thing is, it is a jockey-type shorts. Not boxers, but jockey. And usually not a t-shirt or anything else like that. And for women, it's a bra and panties. But the thing is, it used to be long panties. You know, it went down to the knees and things like that. But these things are changing. And stay connected. That's most interesting. And so this is fantastic. This is fantastic. Some people capture the ideal idea of whatever they're working on. And they are making energy work to its supreme. Some people do not. They have way out ideas. And Do their ideas ever have a time that is for it to come? Mostly no. Mostly no. Because it is not the ideal. And sure, you can have expensive type things and cheap type things, but there's not a desire for them. The people who live in expensive houses usually have the ideal silverware. They may have the rich type silverware too, but that's just because they're expected to have it. But they don't use it. In their use of it, they use the everyday stuff. And this is true. And this is how you make energy work. You make energy work by tuning in to the ideal for any given thing that you want. Now, Microsoft tuned in to the ideal of computer software. What's his name? He has the virus protector.
Norton.
Norton. With his virus protection and his computer protection. He was the first one who really got going well with that. But he put it out in such a way that it was an ideal for people. And then he made a mistake. Then he tried to do what Microsoft did in making a mistake, and what Sony did in making a mistake, and IBM did in making a mistake. They all tried to be proprietary. They wanted it to be only for them and for their users. And in the process, they made themselves not necessary. People began shifting to other things. If they hadn't tried to own the world, rather just produce the world, you know, produce the finest, which they were doing, they could have remained right on top without the struggle they're having. Oh, they're remaining up there because they're so big. But they're not remaining up there because they're good. Because there are people that are coming along with things that are far better, far more wonderful. But they're being held back by just the idea that they haven't gotten forth to print it, to do it. Now, people have come up with gasoline that uses water, you know, and it functions. And it functions better than gasoline, with straight gasoline. And that was put on the shelf. Many other things were put on the shelf because the people didn't carry it out. And you see, whenever you want to protect your idea to such a degree that you don't want someone else to steal it from you, your idea usually doesn't get to work at all. So what you want to do with your ideas is just to find the ideal and flow with it and get your name on it right at the beginning. And then it's all yours. It's all yours and it works fine. This is making energy work to its highest. It's realizing that there's lots more where that came from. Whatever beautiful idea you come up with, flow with it, because there's a lot more where that came from. Everyone can make energy work. Everyone can listen to the divine within them. Everyone can put these causes in motion in a very beautiful, positive, dynamic way, if they want to. But I guess the key word is, if they want to. If they're afraid of their product, that someone will steal it, they hide it, and it's lost. If they're afraid of their product and they want to get all the proper legal talent, they may get all the legal talent, but it'll stop them and others coming out too. But if they just let it go and know that all is in divine order, they'll never have to worry. And their product will come out very beautifully. I make energy work by knowing its ideal for any given thing, and it functions. This is our thought for today. Take it and run with it. Mm-hmm. And have a wonderful journey. Because I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you. I love you.